We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield IMG College, presented by Harris Teeter, where Tar Heel fans shop for groceries.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Adam, the show's presented by Harris Teeter. Harris Teeter is assisting you with groceries this basketball season. Each week, one winner will receive free groceries for every assist through the Big Four Grocery Assist Sweepstakes. You can visit harristeeter.com and look for the Grocery Assist Sweepstakes section to enter. Adam, it's been a long time, but I think it is a worthy time to bring out Sad Friday.
It's Friday, feeling down Friday. Toys looking forward to the next game. Friday, feeling down on Friday. Toys looking forward to the next game. Practicing. Roy says run.
Feeling a little down today, Adam.
My Friday power rankings would be original Friday.
Sure.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Sad Friday.
It's Friday, feeling down on Friday.
Remix Friday.
It's Friday.
I think Remix Friday comes in third.
Well, remember, we also have Acoustic Friday.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
There's all kinds of Fridays out there, Adam.
That's true. That's not really in the regular rotation.
No. So, oh boy, we're going to talk about Wednesday night, Carolina Marquette, and the ramifications from that. That part won't be as cool. That's why we're feeling down. So, Adam, we'll be down. Then we got to pick ourselves back up. We can do that with a fun interview, shorter interview with, you know, all-time Tar Heel at this point, Danny Green. National champion in 09. Gone on to three NBA titles. And just a fun, great personality who loves Carolina and is always happy to rep the heels. And so looking forward, again, it's a shorter interview with Danny. It's only about 15 minutes or so shorter than our normal interview. But we caught up with him about his time in Philadelphia, about shooting struggles with the Lakers and a whole bunch of other stuff that I hope people will enjoy.
I think even if Danny Green didn't play basketball, you would like hanging out with him and talking to him.
Yep. So that's coming up. Then we have a five-second challenge. I'm going to be put feet to the fire this week. Adam's the question asker. We have Adam's list. We have a bunch of great emails and tweets that we're going to get to as well. A whole bunch of stuff. Plus, Adam, at the end of the show, big announcement for next week. Something's brewing for next week, and we'll tell you what at the end of the show.
We've actually disabled the fast-forward feature.
Yeah, that's right.
So you cannot now fast-forward to the end. You have to listen to the entire thing. Then you also have to subscribe, and then you have to give a 5-star rating. Once all that has happened...
Yeah, it unlocks a special extra level.
Right, it's like a hidden track on your CD, which I know people still listen to these days. You're listening to track 10 and then 11, and then there's some silence, and then it jumps to track 18, and there's a little something special for you there. So just make sure you listen to the entire thing, you subscribe, and you get that 5-star rating, then you'll hear the big announcement, which is monumental.
Before we get to any of that, a reminder that we're brought to you in part by LS Tractor. Don't let those outside chores or projects cause you to miss any Tar Heel game action. Let LS Tractor make short work of them, from normal yard maintenance to larger projects. LS Tractor has the machine for you. Visit lstractorusa.com to see the difference. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? Adam, let's go to Wednesday night in the Smith Center, and this one was ugly. 83-70, the final score. Marquette gets the win over Carolina, and I feel like we've said this a couple times this year, which I guess is both good and bad. I mean, no, it's really just bad and bad. It's not just that the Tar Heels lost. It's how they lost. And, you know, I think Carolina's now 14-8, and I think almost every other game that the Tar Heels lost this year, in addition to just what happened on the court, I think there was a viable explanation to what may have contributed, in addition to just being outplayed on the court at times, to what ended up being the result of the game. Whether it was, oh, before that Clemson game, you had the long layoff. Before the Virginia game, gosh, their defense is tough when you have a freshman point guard. Before the Texas game, Tar Heels struggle with Texas, and traditionally that time of year figuring things out. Even the NC State game, I think you could get, you know, start ACC play, weird year, all these different things. There is no other outside influence on this game other than the Tar Heels didn't appear to be real ready to play. They were out everything on the court. Marquette was by far the aggressor in the first 20 minutes, which put the Heels down 16 at the half, which is too big a deficit for them to climb out of. And Carolina lost pretty handily at home to a team that I think it's better than. And again, it wasn't even really close.
Roy Williams called it laying an egg. Thought that was a pretty apropos way to put it. I think a lot of times we try to identify one or two areas where Carolina was outplayed, and I think in that game, the area was playing basketball, because Marquette did everything better than the Tar Heels. It felt like, and players and coaches said, that Carolina just was not ready to play, didn't show up, and that's what happens. Marquette was 10-12 coming into the game, but they're in the Big East Conference. They have good basketball players, and if you don't show up to play, they're going to beat you. And they didn't just beat the Tar Heels. They beat them pretty handily. Carolina had a couple of possessions where it felt like if you make a shot here, you might put a little stress on Marquette and potentially be able to make a run. But the problem was Carolina made a run, and all that did was cut it from 18-8. So you can't maintain that full court pressure that the Carolina used in the second half for 20 full minutes. And the Tar Heels couldn't, and they lost.
Roy Williams said, in his opinion, he thought, and he didn't say these exact words, but I think this was pretty close to what Coach was saying, that basically his team felt like it had played very well against Louisville, which it did, saw that Marquette was 10-12 and 6-10 in the Big East, knew that it had some big ACC games coming up, and thought, okay, well, we just beat Louisville by 45. Let's go do this, take care of this, and then on we'll go. And again, those weren't his exact words, but that's kind of how I interpreted them and what I thought that he meant. And it looked that way. It looked like the Tar Heels thought that they were just going to go play the game and Marquette was going to oblige by losing the game and the Tar Heels were going to do their thing and win the game without having to really put a whole lot of extra effort in it. And that really wasn't the case. And you saw that. And it's not like I didn't think like the Tar Heels were like loafing on the court or not trying. That's not what I'm saying at all. I thought their effort was not bad, but they just were out executed. Coach Williams talks about the sense of urgency. I don't think there's any doubt that Marquette had that. Marquette hit some shots early, which gave it confidence. Its bench was really loud and into it at the beginning of the game, which got them going. And, you know, they hit some threes, not a ton, but enough, especially in the first half where they hit six of them, which was about their season average. And again, Adam, to me, that game is all about the first half. Whatever. I mean, second half, whatever. The first half was where it was lost. The first half was the concerning part. That first 20 minutes was everything you can't have. And I think at this point of the season, what we normally have a pretty good feel for Carolina. And kind of the parameters of how the Tar Heels might play is normally pretty small at this point. We've seen them go through a progression. We kind of know what they are. This team, I feel like the parameters are enormous. They could go out there, and I truly think Carolina could hang with, could beat most teams in the country, could certainly hang with anybody. You know, I know Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, those teams are great. I think Carolina could compete with those teams this year, even when they're playing at their best. But now we've also seen them have these bottom-out games, which normally these type of games, you might see one of these a year in December. The Tar Heels have had at least three that come to my mind right now in State, Clemson, and this Marquette game, where you've just, the first State game, where things have just bottomed out for the Tar Heels, and it's hard to get a feel for which team you're going to see on any given night.
And I think especially disappointing to see that type of bottom-out game when it's not like Carolina's in some sort of comfortable postseason position. You need wins. And the Tar Heels just didn't have that sense of urgency. Roy Williams pointed to the scenario during the game where he called one set in the huddle, and then the team went out on the court and ran something completely different than what he had talked about. You don't have that occur if you're focused. And that's not to say that it's the point guard's fault, because there's four other players on the court, and if the point guard calls the wrong thing, hopefully you've got at least one upperclassman out there who says, hey, it's not what we're doing. And it didn't feel like that ever occurred. Knowing our Roy Williams encyclopedia, I was very surprised we didn't get the Fat and Happy reference, because this felt like the textbook Fat and Happy game, even though Carolina really wasn't as fat and as happy as they seemed to think they were. You just got outplayed at home by a team that had lost 6 of 8.
Two quick things. The turnovers, I mean, 19 turnovers against a team that was averaging about forcing about 10 or 11, and you turn over 19 times. And there was no better explanation of that than I think it was in the first half when Carolina had a stretch where it made 6 of 8 shots and saw its deficit grow by like 6 points. Because, yeah, they were making it when they were shooting it, but they weren't shooting it very much because they were turning it over so much. And again, if you and I were talking about this after a game in November or December, I think we would say, oh, well, yeah, that kind of stuff happens at this point of the year. But that game was played on February 24th.
I thought the other quintessential play was when Leaky Black drove to the basket. It really looked like he had an open layup at worst, and for some reason decided to drop it off to Walker Kessler,
who had already started boxing out.
And I think that's probably what I would have done.
Yeah.
It looked like Leaky had a layup, and I don't know if that's being too cautious. I don't know what we would have to talk to Leakey to find out what why he thought Walker Kessler had a better opportunity to score at that point in time. But it just felt like that highlighted sort of Marquette was very exact in doing exactly what they wanted to do. And Carolina didn't seem real sure. Kerwin Walton wasn't making all his shots. And so things were a little confused.
Last thing, at least for me, Adam. The starters were outscored by, what, 37? Is that right?
Yes.
It's hard to overcome. I mean, I'm not saying, like, oh, change the starting lineup. But you got to figure out why you're getting outscored by 37 in your starting five. That's hard to overcome.
Carolina's bench has been really good now consistently for a couple of weeks. I think they've become consistently really good enough that it's time to ask if would they be better served not coming off the bench, given the production that you're getting from the bench. And I think those are the questions that the Tar Heels will ask yesterday at practice, today at practice, getting ready for Florida State, because Florida State's got plenty of bench. Those guys don't even know who's on the bench. They don't even – it doesn't makes no difference because they got 10, all of whom are capable. So that type of effort Carolina had against Marquette will get you beat by 30 by Florida State. And you need to put five out there who want to execute, want to defend, want to play. But I do think Carolina will play against Florida State.
And as Coach Williams says all the time, I mean, that's going to be determined in practice, as you said. And I think yesterday's and today's practice are big practices. There's only a week left in the regular season, a week. And the Heels play Florida State, Syracuse, and Duke, three good teams. So we'll find out.
I really think the actual loss to Marquette doesn't really matter. What matters is how it makes you feel about those next three games. Because when we get to a week from now, the outcome against Marquette is not going to matter. All that matters is these next three games. But the fact that Carolina was capable of putting together that type of showing against Marquette, that really concerns you for the next three, knowing what you know about these opponents and about what's going to be required to win these games, which Carolina does need to win these games. You don't necessarily have to win them all. But again, are we going for the bottom denominator? Well, let's try to win two out of three, Tar Heels. You do need to win two out of three. And the way the Tar Heels came out against Marquette just doesn't make you feel very good about the next 10 days or so.
So, Tar Heels next in action, Florida State Saturday, 4 o'clock game. I'm a big fan of that 4 o'clock game. Feels like a good time.
I told you, I had thought all week this game was at 6, and then you said on Wednesday night it was at 4, and that made my night. Now, there was a low bar for making my night at that point in time, but 4 o'clock, good game time.
Man, what would the Smith Center be like on a normal Saturday at 4 o'clock for Carolina, Florida State? That actually transitions us nicely into our next discussion after I tell you. That we're brought to you in part by Pinehurst. You know this by now. Pinehurst Resort is more than just Donald Ross's masterpiece, Pinehurst number 2. Which, Adam, I got to tell you, this weather the last couple of days has got me thinking heavy about some Pinehurst. Stunning redesign of number 4. Named the best new course you can play by Golf Magazine last year. Cradle, the fun short course, North and South Bar, Pinehurst Brewing Company. It's all right there in Pinehurst. Crazy squirrels. We'll get to that later. Never been more to discover at the Cradle of American Golf. That's Pinehurst. The website, pinehurst.com, and plan your visit. Okay. Adam, earlier this week, former pod guest, Governor Roy Cooper.
Hi, everybody. I'm North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. See you later, big grits.
Made some changes to the restrictions due to COVID in both outdoor and indoor gatherings, as it has to do both with entertainment venues like sports arenas and other things, restaurants, bars, gyms, etc. Bubba Cunningham also former pod guest.
Hi, it's Bubba Cunningham, and I can just say, see you later, big grits.
We're just the power players here on the pod. John Grisham, ever heard of him?
We'd like to thank President Joe Biden, a former pod guest. We didn't get a big grits from him.
Stop in the name of love.
All right, we're going to have to stop things right there because the information that we had changed dramatically after Adam and I had this conversation initially. So let's bring Adam back in, but in a different location. This will all make sense in just a second to continue this conversation. All right, we've time traveled a little bit, and we have brought Adam back in because, gosh, we had already had a really insightful and informative discussion about this topic, but things have changed since Adam was escorted out of Pod World headquarters by the security folks. He's not allowed back in a certain amount of time, so we've had to patch him in the old-fashioned way on the telephone. And Adam, the big news that Carolina will begin allowing fans into its stadiums and arenas, and that includes the Smith Center, where there will be approximately 3,000 fans or so for the Florida State and Duke games. That 3,000, and again, that's an approximate number, will be made 75% will be students. That's around 2,400. The rest of the tickets will be available to families of the players and coaches, healthcare workers from UNC hospitals, and some donors as well. So this also, by the way, and we'll talk about this, but Dorrance Field, Boschmer Stadium, Keenan Stadium, Carmichael, the Tennis Center, all of this, but let's start with basketball. Two games left, and the good news is Carolina will have some fans in the house with them.
And two important games, and you would think probably some fans who are thirsty to be able to see any sort of Tar Heel competition after a year away. So should be some really good crowds no matter what quantity of people are actually in there. Seems like about as good a solution as you could hope for. There's no perfect solution that's going to please everybody, but this seems like it touches most every group that you'd want to include and try to get in as many people as you possibly can.
As far as Dorrance, Boschmer, and Keenan Stadium, student athletes and coaches will be allowed 4 family members to attend per game. There'll be at least 100 tickets per event reserved for students, and there will be single game tickets going on sale. That includes for the rest of Carolina's baseball series with Virginia, which started yesterday, but will continue Friday and Saturday. And then for Carmichael, the Tennis Center, Shelton Stadium, that's field hockey, Anderson Stadium, which is softball, Findlay Golf Course. There'll be seats for students and the general public available for regular season games. There won't be tickets sold for these particular events, but they will be available based on availability. Athletes and coaches, again, will have up to 4 family members attend per game. And so, I mean, Adam, it's a step. It's obviously not a full step. It's not 21,750 in the Smith Center, but it's a step towards normalcy, which I think will be exciting for everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's all you can do at this point. You're not going to be able to make everybody happy, but you want to get in as many people as you possibly can to these events that you know people have been wanting to go to and you've had to turn them away. And I think if we assume this is step one on the path to sell out crowds in Chapel Hill again, just a quick reminder to everybody to just follow whatever rules you're given in order to be able to get into the building. Wear your mask, socially distance from who you're supposed to distance from, and just do the best you can to follow the rules established. Everybody wants full houses back in Chapel Hill as soon as they can, and following this path is the best way to get there the fastest, safest way possible.
And Adam, last thing, I think Bubba Cunningham told us, you know, several weeks ago that his first priority after the family members of the players and the coaches of the respective teams was going to be students. And I think you see that with the heavy percentage of the available tickets for men's basketball going to students. When you're talking about 75% of the available seats will be available to the students, which is Bubba following up on what he said he was going to do.
And that's the right thing to do, it seems to me. You're talking about college students over the past year who have missed almost everything that makes up the key part of being a college student. And this is one way to give them back just a small percentage of their college experience. Remember, seniors are usually guaranteed a Duke ticket for the home game against Duke, which will be next Saturday. So you've got to figure out how to work that. But that's supposed to be just something you do as a Carolina senior. So I'm sure there'll be some people say, oh, there should be more donors and less students or more of this and less of that. And you've got to take care of the students first, because this entire last year has been not what they would want it to be.
Roads? Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
We're so close. We've almost made it. I can almost see Kenan Stadium in the distance with fans in it and Sam Howell out there holding his Heisman Trophy at the 50-yard line and Mac Brown's hoisting the crystal football and the fans, the stands are full. We're almost there. So let's just try to get there as smoothly as we can. Don't make the mistake of thinking, well, because the Tar Heels didn't put in practice the plan that I think they ought to do, that means they don't want fans. Everybody wants fans. It makes sense for everyone to have fans there. Financially, supporting the teams, it's more fun to play when you have people cheering for you, I imagine. I remember when I was lighting it up at Apex Middle School, knocking in the threes and then shooting the three pistols in the air. I loved having that Cougar Club supporting me. So everyone wants that, and we're trying to get there as best we can. It's just... it hasn't moved as quickly as anyone would want, but man, we're a lot closer than we were 3 months ago.
You know, and now, granted, these were pretty small numbers in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, there were fans limited in Kenan Stadium, and I didn't hear of any, like, major issues. Now, I mean, I didn't hear of any major kerfluffle or anything that occurred. So, yeah, we're all in this together, Adam.
I saw some people near me who did have a kerfluffle because they had to make a big deal about wearing their mask. Then just don't come. It's fine. You don't have to. It's fine. They're going to play whether you come or not, I promise. And if it's going to make you upset to have to do these things, then there's other things you can do. And that doesn't make you less of a Carolina fan or me more of a Carolina fan. Dim's the rules, buddy. And if dim's the rules, and that's what I got to do to see the Tar Heels, that's what I'm going to do.
So.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, and a what up. Bubba mentioned this in his statement to the facilities folks.
Yeah.
And I won't name them all, but they know who they are. The John Bruners, the James Sperlings, the Steven Iannatos. It's been tougher than you think to manage this whole thing, and they have to make some of these speeches that we're talking about to people who feel like they ought to be able to come in, whether it's their kid playing or they just love the Heels or whatever, and they've had to put together a plan to have everybody do this safely and get athletes in and out, and it hadn't been easy, and it's not really what they signed up for. But it seems to me, knowing what little I know about their job, that they've done a really good job.
Okay, Adam, am I missing anything? We got a hefty back part of the show. We're going to talk about Adam's list, of course. We've got some Champions Watch. We've got the 5-second challenge. We have a lot to do. Am I missing anything here before we get to our Danny Green interview and then ride off into the sunset?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So, again, this is a shorter interview with Danny, only about 10 or 15 minutes. But we've got this, then coming out, 5-second challenge, Champions Watch, Adam's list. Big announcement, all coming up on the Carolina Insider.
This is one of our very favorites, Danny Green. You don't need any sort of big hyped up introduction for Danny Green because he's awesome. That's all you need to know.
Absolutely. Danny, what's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up? Thank you guys. I appreciate it. I'm not as awesome as you guys, but appreciate you having me on, man. It's
now, Danny.
Pleasure. Always coming back and then chopping it with you guys.
Okay, hold on now. So now you're like super big in the podcast game. But let me just say.
I wouldn't say super big, but yes, I do have a podcast.
Well, but let me just say, I remember several summers ago, you came in and sat down with us. You had your camera guy with you. It was we were in my old office. It was super cramped. but that was like your one of your first taste in podcast. So basically what I'm saying is, did we get you started in the podcast game?
Possibly. I mean, that experience helped me understand what it was like. But I have to give full credit to my co-host, Harrison Sanford. Inside the Green Room is my podcast, but my co-host, Harrison Sanford, is one that talked me into it. I wasn't so, I guess, enthused by it being in San Antonio, how they would take it as an organization, because you know how they are with the media and how they like to keep things very close to chest and want guys doing much with the media or outside the court. But when I got traded to Toronto, and I also everybody thought I had information on Kawhi, so it kind of blew up in that nature. And you know, it became bigger than I ever expected it to be, man. And it's been fun ever since. I've learned a lot about my teammates. It's grown, and I've learned a lot about the media and kind of been able to rewrite my narrative of myself, my teammates, or you know, change the narrative or create my own narrative for some people. So it's been awesome.
It's something you don't have to do. So I have to think that you must like it. What do you like about doing it?
I said I enjoy, you know, just learning about people, mainly my teammates. A lot of it, you know, I get a chance to talk to them day to day, but it's mostly work stuff. We all talk about basketball. We talk about a little about family, but their hobbies, their passions, their past, their future, like the things that my co-host and my producer does research on and asks them, are things that I'd never imagined to talk about during the season, you know what I'm saying, or on the plane or watching shows. So I get a chance to learn about them. I get a chance to talk to multiple different talents, a multitude of variations of people, and learn about them. Also get a chance to actually catch up with my guys and talk sports and kind of get that barbershop talk that you don't get, especially during a pandemic. You don't get that type of, I guess, that interaction that you're used to getting in normal life. Now that, you know, you don't go to barbershops as much, you don't get a chance to hang out and go to events much or dinner as much. You can't, you know, shoot the breeze a little bit and talk some sports and talk a little trash about personal life, regular world. As much as you would like to. So the podcast, especially now we're doing over Zoom, it's a lot easier to do as well. But it gives you that kind of feel and that energy and that interaction that we haven't had in a while.
So DG, with the 76ers now, what's the experience been like with Philadelphia this year?
It's been refreshing, man. And not saying that it wasn't great in my other cities, but to start over, it's tough to have a quick turnaround like we've had. The only way to get through it mentally is to start fresh and have a little different feel, different energy, learn different people. So it was good that I had Dwight with me, but to have, you know, a different coaching staff, a different team around me and have a different role here, to have a voice and try to help, you know, groom these youngins or these younger guys in this team, this atmosphere on how to win and try to become or chase what we're after and reach our goal. So that's been another new challenge for me. And, you know, each year as you get older, regardless of how much you've achieved, you always want to achieve more and take on different various challenges. So this one's been an interesting one. It's been fun. It's been refreshing. And so the city's starting to open up again now with restaurants and stuff, the pandemic. Hopefully we'll let fans in soon. But it's been a good experience so far, man. I'm enjoying it to this point.
I want to read some stats about Danny Green to make sure people understand. He's played in more wins than any Tar Heel ever. He won an NCAA championship. He went to two Final Fours. He was 4-0 at Cameron Indoor Stadium. 3 regular season ACC titles, 2 ACC tournament titles, 3 NBA titles, and one of only 3 Tar Heels to win an NCAA and NBA title. Why does winning follow where Danny Green goes?
I've been very lucky, man. And I said all those stats that you've listed is mostly because I've been blessed enough to stay healthy, to play in that many games, and also been a part of some great organizations and some great teams and teammates and plays for some great coaches. So I said I've been fortunate to this point. Even now, so playing for a great organization with Philly and for Doc and Joel Embiid, MVP caliber player, Ben Simmons All-Star, Tobias Harris All-Star in my book many years over. He's been one of the biggest snubs this year. So play with talents like that and coaching staffs said I've been very lucky and fortunate, man. And hopefully I can continue that as long as I'm stepping on the floors and hopefully continue in the NBA arena.
I mean, DG, 3 NBA titles and a college championship. I mean, does that ever just hit you and be like, damn, that's unbelievable?
I try not to reflect too much. I think about it too much because I don't want to ever be satisfied. But I do reflect at some moments in life, probably in the summertime when I have vacation. Unfortunately, with so much going on, the long year, the pandemic and the bubble and a quick turnaround, I haven't had a vacation in about 2 years. So I haven't had much time to reflect. So I'd have to keep moving, keep thinking and just worrying about, focus on the next step, the next thing, next page ahead, next chapter, and the next game. So I haven't had time to reflect, but yeah, three is a blessing, man. Mind you, I haven't even received two of those three rings. So I've only have the San Antonio ring. So haven't really had a chance to really take it in and cherish the moment yet.
Coach Williams talks a lot about making sure that the highs are as high as the lows are low. When you win that much, how do you make sure that you're appreciating the winning and not thinking that it's normal? Because it's not.
It's tough, man. Because you said I think in different organizations, you kind of start to understand and appreciate more because you see what they have went through before you've gotten there. Even though LA said before I've gotten there, they didn't make the playoffs the year before. So you understand that they're excited and happy to have a team that's winning. But it is different atmosphere. There are high expectations there, especially when you have the talent you have around you and the city and the organization that you're playing for. Being in Toronto, you know, they're still trying to get over that hump. So making it to, you know, the finals was a big deal, man. And they'll forever remember you and treat you like a king for being a part of that run here in Philly. So we don't have the fans yet here, but I can tell with the organization, with the people around me, you know, this is the first time they've been number one seed since I can remember. But not saying that they're just satisfied and happy, but you understand, you know, how, I guess, lucky you are to be a part of that type of culture. That chemistry, because not everybody gets to experience it, and you have different teammates, and they tell you their stories about who they've played for, who they've coached, or who coached them, and how much they were losing, and how bad it was, or how rough it was in that city. So you start to learn to appreciate it more through your teams, your teammates, other experiences, and you know, just kind of try to appreciate it that way. But you know, so I've been very lucky, I've been blessed, man. Obviously, you can't win them all, but right now we're doing okay. I would like to continue to keep winning and being a number one seed in the East, and hopefully even stronger in the second half of the season, which I know is going to be tougher. We looked at it. A schedule just came out. It's going to be even crazier the second half of the season. But yeah, man, I've been lucky too and very fortunate to where I don't know what it's like to be a part of, you know, those experiences or organizations where, you know, losing is, I would say, a habit or something that people are used to. So that's not something I plan on getting used to either, but I've been lucky, man. I've been very blessed.
DG, is there something in common with those franchises that you've been a part of? And I know they don't all do it exactly the same, but I would assume there's something there between the Spurs, the Lakers, the Raptors, the Sixers. These are high quality organizations. Is there something there that is consistent?
For sure. I would say San Antonio, Toronto, man. I'm not going to exclude the other teams, but I know that for sure there, it kind of started. A lot of people took the San Antonio culture and learned from that and built from it. People were taking the coaching staff. A lot of that was passed down to Toronto, a lot of it to Philly too. We have a lot of people over there. We didn't have many of those San Antonio descendants in LA. But I would say for sure that in Toronto, their medical staff was top notch. They were overstaffed. They had a bunch of medical staff. They learned that it's very important to take care of the bodies. And I think they learned that from the San Antonio way. Philly, same thing, medical staff. To LA, I would say they had so many vets there. You know what I'm saying? They just knew, everybody had so much experience. They knew what it took to get it done. And also they did things the right way of reaching out and make sure you got everything you needed. When it came to taking care of your body, they make sure they took care of the players. So if I had to say one thing that I had in common was making sure that the players' minds, bodies, and spirits were taken care of, most importantly, first and foremost, and having a medical staff that was up to the task. And I said Toronto staff was unbelievably amazing, and they had so much staff that it was hard to, you know, compare other staffs to that. But obviously San Antonio, great staff. LA, amazing staff as well. Philly here too, amazing medical staff. But you know, the facilities were amazing as well. They had everything that you needed. If you didn't have it, they'll fix it, they'll get it, they'll change it. San Antonio's a little older, but you know, I'm sure they updated everything now too. I haven't been there in a while, but if I had to pick point one thing, it's just how they took care of their players' bodies and minds.
What was life like in the bubble? I know you very publicly struggled some with your shot during some of the games. How difficult was that, particularly when you were so isolated in your situation?
It was tough, man. Bubble is one of the toughest things I've ever done in life, man. And I've been through some stuff. So just mentally, emotionally draining affects you more so than anything. And physically, obviously playing every other day, I'm trying to keep your mind off stuff. It's hard to keep your mind off when nothing else is really on, or people just watching you and honing in on basketball, the first sport pretty much to come back. And that was nationally televised. Everybody's watching every game every night. And we're publicly every night critiqued and criticized. social media wise, media, just all over. So it was said it was draining emotionally, and you're away from your families. You're stuck. No matter how nice the bubble is, you're doing the same thing every day over and over, regardless of if it's heaven or if it's the worst place in the world. You get used to doing the same thing every day. It's going to get tiring. It's going to get boring. It's going to get draining, regardless of how well they dress it up. Over time, and we were in there for damn near 100 days. A lot of time, half that time, more than half that time, without our families and friends, without our girlfriends, wives, fiancés, kids. So it was a struggle, man. And I said, when that is draining on you or weighing on you, that'll affect your game a ton. And I think that was the cause of a lot of guys struggling in that type of atmosphere. And for me, so it's hard to just kind of regain focus and get some freshness, some air, and just, you know, brush off and kind of bounce back. I never got a chance to really just bounce back from it and let my body, mind, and heal, and my emotional side of myself heal. So it was tough.
Green, middle of the floor. Off to Ginyard to Green for the dunk. Take the charge and got flattened on the play.
Hope you enjoyed our interview with Danny Green. It was brought to you by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for right around 5 seconds. At highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field, but doing it with your eyes closed. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. Put down your phone and let's have a hands-free NC while driving. To learn more, visit trustedchoice.com and find an agent near you. Adam, that of course leads into the 5-second challenge. You, sir, are asking. I am answering. I have my thinking cap on, and I'm ready to go.
You're going to need it, because this is a humdinger.
Oh, baby.
This is a Lucas original TM, double tap, TM, TM, TM. Jones, I don't know if you've heard that Roy Williams' next win will be numero 900.
900.
During the course of those 900 wins.
Oh, boy. Okay. 900 wins.
Starting at number one, name them all.
Alaska Anchorage, number one. Number 418 came against Marquette. I had that ready for Wednesday night. That was the last win at Kansas.
Look, you just never use what – you never know what preparation you're going to use.
That's right.
Of those 900 wins, Roy Williams has defeated 16 Naismith Hall of Famers.
Oh, good gracious, Adam.
16 Naismith Basketball Hall of Famers. Hall of Fame coaches, not players. Head-to-head coaching battles.
Right.
16 of them.
Okay.
I thought you might want to stall, but maybe
Adam,
not.
Adam, now, how many are you talking about?
You talking about the Naismith Hall of Fame?
Now, which are you talking about, the Onslow County Sports Hall of Fame?
Not the Wilmington Hall of Fame where you have to wear the tuxedo.
Right, which never happened. Everything COVID took from
you
us.
You took so much from us, COVID. 16. You have 5 seconds to name all 16 of them, beginning now.
Krzyzewski, Boeheim, Lute Olson.
Oh,
Bob Knight
time.
I got four. All four of those are right.
You think so?
Lute Olson, maybe not. But I think so.
Yeah, all four of those are right.
Yeah, boom. Well, I had those four in my mind, and I rattled off three, and then I couldn't remember the fourth one that I had in my head, and then I was just going to take a flyer. Is Izzo in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the tricky part, is knowing who's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. So, okay, well, go ahead, Adam.
Dean Smith?
Yeah. That's like a little tricky answer there.
Bob Knight, you said.
Yeah.
Louis Carnesecca up at St. John's. Nolan Richardson. I didn't know he was in the Hall of Fame, but he was. Former Arkansas coach, or he is in the Hall of Fame. Denny Crum from good old Louisville.
Louisville.
John Chaney at Temple. Mike Krzyzewski, you said. Lute Olson, you said. Jim Boeheim, you said. Jim Calhoun from UConn. Rick Pitino. A lot of encounters with him.
He is currently at Iona.
That's right. Jerry Tarkanian.
Yep.
Tark the Shark. Gary Williams. John Calipari.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo.
That's
and sorry, Bill Self.
Really? Bill Self's in? I didn't know Self was in.
I didn't know Bill Self was in either.
That was a good one, Adam. And I think that's also one that if I had more time.
Yeah.
I mean, four is okay. I probably, if Bob Knight hadn't randomly run out of my mind there, because those were the, I thought Kay Boeheim, Lute Olson, and Bob Knight. And then I was going to just try and see what else popped into my mind. But then Bob Knight ran out of my mind, and then I had to pull that one back.
Knight, you get where you belong, sir.
Yeah. It's like he threw that chair right through my brain and knocked his name out of it for a second.
The tricky part, really, like, I wouldn't have thought of Calipari as being in the Hall of Fame either. I mean, I guess I, in some level, knew he was, but I wouldn't have thought of him in
the
that.
I had no clue Self was in. The rest of them, I would have gone, oh, even if I didn't know for sure, I'd have been like, oh, okay. Self, I did not know. I'm not saying he shouldn't be in. I'm just saying I didn't know that he was in.
16 Hall of Famers.
That's a good one, Adam. Adam, what? Adam, that was some fine research you just did.
That was going to be the backbone of a great column after the Marquette game.
How'd that work out?
About like your preparation about Win 418.
Well, is that enough research for Adam? No, I don't think so. I think Adam also needs to get his nose in the schedule book and give us a champion's watch. Brought to you by UNC Health. The team at UNC Health is dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds. That includes you and your family. Their website to learn more is unchealthcare.org/sports. Adam, it is a busy, busy, busy time at Carolina. Who all is competing and catching your eye this weekend?
It really is a cyclone of Tar Heel athletic activity right now. You can't go wrong with any of the sports that are on the field or court or wherever they compete this weekend. We know Jones is a big indoor track fan.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're competing as well. But I selected women's lacrosse. We talked about them some this week, and they've got a big game against a top 10 Duke team today at 6 o'clock on the ACC network.
Four number one ranked teams right now in Chapel Hill. The two lacrosses and the two tennises, all number one. That's pretty crazy.
That really is crazy. And those are all legitimate springtime teams. That's not even taken into account the field hockeys and some of the other squads that'll be starting up a little later.
All right, Adam, before we get to your list, we got caught in a bunch of mentions this week about Kerwin Walton's nickname. Mm. Now, this is something that I think we need to make clear. We didn't name Kerwin Walton Kerweenie. That's not our nickname. So I can come up with any list of things that I could call Kerwin Walton, but that's not how nicknames work. It's like that Seinfeld episode. Adam, I'd like you to call me Thor from now on.
Look, Jones didn't just proclaim he wanted to be G College.
Right. It just happens. That's how they work.
Sometimes you just act aristocratically, and next thing you know, you're the aristocrat of tenderness.
I mean, could I come up with a slicker-sounding name? Well, that's actually debatable. But a tougher-sounding name for Kerwin? Well, of course we could. But that's not our place.
That's another three for the Minnesota Marauder. Old Double M shooting the lights out.
So, and also, you're free to name Kerwin Walton whatever you would like. That's certainly fine. We're going to go with what the team calls him. Not because that's some kind of, like, law. It's just how it organically occurred.
We've had some off-the-record conversations with some team members about the name Kerwini, and they really enjoy calling him that. And I think at this point, we're not going to be able to prevent them from doing so. Theo Pinson called him Muffin Top on Instagram, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much more official than that. So that horse has left the barn.
Adam, let's go to your list.
You're a
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Hope you saw the video pod yesterday, because we used some brand new pictures of the fox squirrels down in Brunswick County.
Yeah, we did. Those really captured the disturbing nature of the fox squirrel.
That, I think, is why they invented the video pod.
Yes.
For content like that. What vehicle can we provide to Jones and Adam to be able to show people the fox squirrels, not just talk about them?
Right.
Congratulations, Mr. Ryan Helms. You have entered the 100% club.
Oh, I missed that. Congrats, Ryan. I didn't see that one out there. Good work, buddy.
And speaking of 100% pod listeners and people who are not in the 100% club, I was talking with my son earlier this week, and he asked me something a little offensive, which was, how many times each year do you do the potties?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Adam, I've never questioned your parenting until now.
I asked him, would you have 2 Academy Awards per year? Would you sing Happy Birthday on 2 different days?
How many times does Christmas come every year? Just answer that.
It's the potties. It's right there in the name, basically. The Y stands for yearly. Once a year. We couldn't get that dressed up and have that amount of budget.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
For 2 shows.
It is a pretty exhausting exercise.
But you made the good point that those potties are closer than we think they are.
Closer than we think. I really do want you to think about who needs to be not. The potties are going to be interview heavy this year as far as the winners. That's a lot of the categories. We're just going straight interview. I don't think we're going to have a story time category this year, Adam. We just haven't had many. We haven't asked for many.
Or maybe this is your prime time to possibly win a potty. You send in a great story right now.
Yeah.
You might be in there. That goose might be coming to your mantle.
That's right.
CarolinaInsiderPod@gmail.com. Change Jones's mind. You have the power.
Change.org.
Jones, I gave you credit for knowing the mascot of Long Island.
This, Adam, was a stunner to me. Stunner.
Zachary Ruppenkamp called you out, sir.
Yeah, he did.
And I guess he was kind of calling me out because I was wrong also. We were talking about gymnastics, and you said that Long Island University was the Blackbirds. And I said, that's right.
Well, yeah, okay, keep going.
Zachary told us that it is actually the Sharks. In a way, though, both Zachary and Jones are right.
Yeah, we can all be right at this party.
Jones was right that when the Tar Heels played LIU in the NCAA tournament, they were the Blackbirds. What I now know, due to my in-depth research, is that LIU Brooklyn and LIU Post have combined their athletics department. Athletic departments. And when they did so, they picked a new mascot. There was a contest in which you could vote for 3 choices: Sharks, Eagles, Falcons. They really got some original options.
They Googled top high school mascot names. Like, guys, Tigers is a little too obvious. Let's go Falcons, Eagles, and Sharks.
Bears is sitting over there in the corner like, guys, what about me? I'm right there.
What's the weirdest high school mascot that you can remember?
People always think the Imps are weird. That was my crosstown
Harry
rival.
Imps, yeah.
The Whirlies.
Yeah, who is that? That's in Greensboro.
That's Grimsley.
That? Grimsley, yeah. I always remember Greenville Rose was the Running Ramparts.
Yeah,
Ramparts.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't quite know what that was. I still don't. Obviously, I can't even say it.
Yeah. Imps was never weird to me because I grew up knowing the Imps. But I think a lot of people who don't know them think that's weird.
Who chooses the mascots? J.H. Rose is the Rampants.
The president chooses them and assigns them to each school. You, sir, will be the Rampants.
Hmm.
I like it when they have some sort of tie to the area. Like, anything can be the Bears.
Right.
Or the, I was the Cougars. That's not all that original.
Yeah, you were, Adam.
And to this day,
Adam holds Cougar status. So, wait, did we even say who won the contest for LIU?
Well, Zachary told us.
Yeah, well, I know Sharks. That. I'm saying, did you say it?
Yeah, the Sharks won.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the voting totals, but I imagine it was a landslide.
I mean, they totally changed their colors.
Yep.
Because when Carolina competed, they were almost like the New Jersey Nets. They were like black and white.
Yep.
And they were the Blackbirds, but no longer. Now, as Adam said, they're the Sharks. And their color scheme, it's actually pretty, it's close to Carolina blue with gold. So a unique combo there for their color scheme as well. The Sharks.
I was shocked and surprised to find out that evidently Armando Bacot and Dayron Sharp had been up to some mischief in Louisville. They went and held a maskless party at the home of Chris Mack. Chris Mack had to apologize because after the Cards beat Kentucky, there's video of, I guess, hey, Chris Mack, whoever shared this video is not your actual friend, of a friend who was at Chris Mack's house and they were having a maskless victory celebration, which is surprising because we know no one had had a maskless victory celebration until the night of the Carolina Duke game. So I'm not sure how this could have occurred, but it obviously did. But I missed the big national uproar about it, but I did see an article about it. So just so you know, it's out there. Our good friend, Thad Fine, he sent us an email. We know Thad Fine sometimes takes some losses hard. He, Jones, was happy with the win over Louisville, and I wanted to tell you about it. Thad thinks what has been missing and not discussed is Carolina getting revenge on Louisville from 2 years ago.
Mm.
Thad thinks Roy was so fired up to beat Louisville down that they just stomped on them because of how bad Louisville beat Carolina at Carolina 2 years ago with the Luke May, Kobe White, Cam Johnson team. So Thad thinks that's a large part of the 45-point beatdown, Carolina's frustration, and the revenge factor move away big and bad. What do you guys think?
I think, number one, that Marquette better watch its back next time the Tar Heels play them, if that's the case. I disagree with that in that I think that is a much – I think a lot more is made of those kind of things than is actually real. Now, in that season, that year that Thad's talking about, 19 – did Carolina have some motivation from the when they then went to Louisville later in the year and played really well and won that game? Yes, I do think that was the case. Do I think that Carolina now, several years later, feels that way? No, because there's just so many games. You play these teams so often. I mean, now, next time Carolina plays Louisville, will Chris Mack probably remind those guys, especially the ones who were on the team? Yeah, I think he will, and Carolina will have to be ready for that. I think maybe the next time you play them, especially if it's in the same season, you can play that card. I don't think it has anything to do with it later on. Does Coach Williams maybe hang on to a loss? Does he hang on to a loss like that? Maybe, but I don't. It's not like in his mind on the sideline during the game he is thinking about it or coaching with that in mind. When he's sitting there with Wanda at the Mountain House, does he think about it when he's thinking about years gone by? Maybe about the frustration that he felt, but I wouldn't think anything more than that.
I think that's probably right, but I did think it was fun to get a feeling good email from Thad.
That's right.
I'm concerned about what's coming after the Marquette game. I hope that Marquette is not on Thad's list of least enjoyable teams to lose to.
Yeah. Well, that was not an enjoyable game.
Last thing, an email from our good friend, Michael Gaskins. He was listening to the Rayshon Terry interview and said he has met Rayshon several times in Chapel Hill and in Winston-Salem. Michael's kid used to shoot with him at the local YMCA, shoot baskets. some years ago. Michael's kid was probably 8 or 9 and couldn't believe a Tar Heel was in the YMCA and was just getting shots up. That sounds like something Rayshon would do, just be out at the Y, taking on all comers. Again, video pod, we showed the video of Rayshon's dunk that he talked about, the big dunk against Murray State in the NCAA tournament. I have to say, I hadn't seen that dunk in a while, and it was awesome.
It was just as good, if not better, than I remembered it.
Yes.
Adam, a couple of things. Iron Mike sent us a couple things. One, we were talking about, remember I was talking about the boxing knockout?
Mm-hmm.
He said that this knockout came in the Oscar Valdez versus Belchelt match from this past Saturday. And he's right.
Is that before or after you fight Bald Bull?
And so this was the fight I was watching. And Valdez was the winner. He said it was a massive upset that Valdez came in as a +240 underdog, which I don't 100% understand that, but I know that means he was an underdog. And he actually was fighting up in weight versus a man who had one of the highest knockout percentages in the history of the lightweight division. No one thought Valdez could win, and let me tell you, he won emphatically.
Wow. Good facts. I didn't know any of that.
Also, Iron Mike was one of a couple people, Adam, that brought to my attention their prowess in Wii tennis. Oh, no, wait. This was not Iron Mike. I'm getting my Tar Heel podcast listener fans confused. This was the Joe Schmo Sports Show.
Mm.
They sent us a DM that said, I, too, dominate in Wii Sports. I have taken many a dollar from my friends in tennis and bowling. Bring it on, Jones. Bring, period, it, period, on, period.
Hmm.
So Joe Schmo, Joe, wants to bring the heat in Wii Tennis.
If only we could play Wii Tennis over Zoom, we can have a head-to-head matchup.
Alex Thompson sent us... Adam, you should really get in our DMs more.
Yeah.
Alex Thompson sent us a DM and said he saw this while out shopping, gave it #Randy. Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass, but learning to dance in the rain. Adam, that's a good one right there. That's a good one. Do you, Adam, have any love, laugh, learn type of things in your house?
I'm sure we do. I don't always.
I can tell they have an impact on you.
I don't always pay close attention at our house. So it's entirely possible that they're there and I don't know about them. So I'm saying, yes, we do. What are they? Not sure. What about you?
Well, I know I've told you about
inflatables?
The laugh as much as you can breathe sign, which is physically impossible. We've talked about this before. That one I think's actually been removed. You can tell I'm on top of things too when it comes to the artwork.
I think it was taken away in 2011.
What year is this? Adam, your discussion. Watch out for that microphone now.
Where did they put this here?
Your discussion of a potential Tuesday song has sparked a lot of interest. We've got the maybe Ruby Tuesday by the Rolling Stones as a potential Tuesday song.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you when you changed with
them? Is that better than Tuesday's Gone?
Well, I think that is up to the individual, Adam.
But you had some bombshells in this department.
Well, yeah, that's what was getting me back to this answer or to this story, Adam. So we, of course, have the Thursday song.
I'm so happy it's Thursday. Throw the ball. Thursday.
So being the hardcore journalist and researcher I am, I typed in Tuesday song into YouTube to see if there was anything out there that we might be able to use. That would be fun. Well, Adam, I have learned that there's a Tuesday song That's just like the Thursday song, but it's for Tuesday. And you don't throw the ball. You simply turn around.
I'm so happy it's Tuesday. Turn, turn, turn around. Tuesday.
Turn around on Tuesday. So I'm assuming, I think logically, if there's a Thursday and a Tuesday, there's probably one for every day of the week.
Just turning around on Tuesday doesn't seem like a very high bar for a list of things to accomplish.
You're still a little slow on Tuesday. By Thursday, you're ready to throw the ball.
Like Thursday, you're doing your throwing program. You got to throw the ball.
What do you think? Friday's like, fight Oscar Valdez. Fight, 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 fight. Friday.
Valdez.
Okay, Adam, I have one final story that I thought was kind of funny. So my wife was on the phone with a phone company trying to get some account information settled with the phone company. This involved her parents. So she had to bring her mom into the call when talking to the phone company representative. So you've merged the calls now. One call, my wife, phone company representative, my wife's mom, all on the phone together, all in different places. The matter is being discussed and gets settled. And then the phone company person starts going into the, well, you can actually upgrade and you can get a watch and you can do this and that and this and that. Well, this is a good, I don't even want this, because of course you do want to get the matter settled, but you don't really want to get the sales pitch. Well, my mother-in-law was in full, I don't even want this, but was also a little unclear on how the three-way call was working. So she goes, in a very strong whisper on the phone, Jones's wife, just tell him that I don't want any of this. To which my wife goes, Mom, he can hear you. We're all on the same call. Adam, I don't even want this. I do want a Dr. Pepper.
Jones's wife, just tell him I want a Dr. Pepper.
Oh, boy. Good times. Adam, we got something else important to talk about.
Turn around.
I think we got to cancel the wear, weight, wash. I'm not saying cancel in your day-to-day life the wear, weight, wash, because Carolina Insider is indeed brought to you in part by Blue Cross and Blue Shield, reminding you, you've got to practice those three W's. Look, we're getting so close. Just practice the three W's. One day, Adam and I will be able to be in the same room, maskless together again. Wear, weight, wash. We resolve to keep North Carolina healthy. Adam, I think as far as the season goes, we got to cancel it. It's lost its mojo.
We gave it its chance.
Yeah, we gave it plenty of chances.
You had your opportunity. We don't make the lineup. You make the lineup.
Yep.
And you didn't produce when we put you in the lineup. That means you come out. Look, Tario Bird didn't get to be Tario Bird by losing games. It produced. And wear, weight, wash, although you are an extremely important piece of health advice, you are not a method that enables the Tar Heels to win games consecutively.
Also, want to give a, you know what? I'm just going to call this a what up. To our good friend Mark Franklin, this will, I think, Adam, probably need to go on the video pod eventually.
Yes.
If you remember, Mark kind of helped spark this discussion here recently about Tar Heel memorabilia and Tar Heel artwork in your house and all these different things about because he, Mark, was looking for some suggestions on how to get Argyle up on his wall. So he gave us an update. He said it wasn't easy, but totally worth it. Then he gave us some pictures to use for the video pod. He said it took a lot, all caps, of math, in parentheses, big assist, point to the passer, to his wife, who is a math teacher. He said it also took tons, all caps, of painter's tape. He highly recommends frog tape. Do you know what that is?
It's made of frogs.
Lots of patience, according to Mark, also required. And don't I know it, Mark, working with Adam on a day-to-day basis.
I got frog tape over my lips.
Mark said we were originally going to do a bigger wall with several bands of Argyle, but wisely downsized to a smaller wall. We painted on Valentine's weekend and then some, so while maybe not the ones that she wanted, my wife got some diamonds too. Oh, Mark. So witty. And let me just say, and again, we'll show this on the video pod, so I hope you can watch. I think this is kind of a classy way to do it. It's like a little accent wall.
Yeah.
In a room that's clearly kind of a Tar Heel room because it's Carolina Blue and there's some Carolina Blue stuff like a Tar Heel blanket on a couch in there and stuff. And then like one of the little accent walls has got the Argyle on there. I think it looks really good. Mark, you get my seal of approval for your artwork, sir.
Jones has chosen to love it instead of listing it. Plus you get the satisfaction whenever you walk in there of thinking, we did that.
Yeah.
We did that together. Mark, I've written it in the notes section of my phone, which basically means it's on the video pod right now.
Yep.
You can't get any closer than that. So next Thursday, be there.
Adam, last thing here before we go. Well, actually, we have this and then a big announcement that we need to make. We need to thank our friends at Food Lion, proud sponsor of the podcast, and also the Score to Give More campaign. We've talked about that several times throughout the year. That means for every free throw that the Tar Heels make this season, Food Lion Feeds is going to donate 100 meals to a local area food bank that helps our neighbors in need this winter. So the last game, the Marquette game, Carolina made 15 free throws. That's another 1,500 meals that Food Lion is going to donate due to the Score to Give More campaign. And you add that in to the season total, Carolina is now over, it is over 20, it's over 30,000 meals now at this point. I'm trying to do quick math. Adam, that's, in all seriousness, awesome. Thank you, Food Lion. I mean, what an incredible act of generosity. I mean, we're talking over 30,000 meals that Food Lion has donated to local area food banks through that Score to Give More campaign. Food Lion's the official grocer of the ACC, and what an awesome thing for them to do to the community or for the community, really helping those in need.
Makes a huge difference, and really too bad Mark's wife wasn't here when you needed to do that quick math.
Yeah, she'd have been better than me at it. No surprise there. Okay, Adam, last thing before we go. Next week, it's a little wonky. And we are going to have a different schedule next week. So we're only going to have one pod, audio pod, next week. No show on Tuesday. Turn around. And that is because Carolina's at Syracuse. That would be a really late pod after dark, and just don't think it's going to happen. So no show on Tuesday, but Adam, we understand that we're breaking up the schedule, so we got to make it up to everybody. And we're going to do that by bringing the heat next Friday. So this has been a project that Adam and I have been working on for a little bit now. And Adam, I think it's one that people are really, really going to enjoy. It was Adam's idea, so I'm going to let him tell you about it. But I think it's one that people are really going to like. We've had fun doing it. And I think once it all comes together, and even as I'm talking right now, there's still some finishing touches that need to be put on it. But I think people are really, really going to enjoy it.
So Thursday of next week is the 15th anniversary of Carolina defeating Duke in 2006 at Cameron Indoor Stadium on the senior day for J.J. Redick and Sheldon Williams. And ever since that team was here, they've always talked about that win. Even after they won the national title, they talked about how impactful that win was for them. And so we thought it'd be fun to look back 15 years later at that game. So it's kind of a Tar Heel throwback classic trademark.
TM, yeah, TM.
Hashtag TM. But it's souped up.
Yeah, it's similar but different than anyone we've done before. And that is because, you know, Adam, it's almost more like an oral history of the game. Because, buckle up, we talked to Tyler Hansbrough, Danny Green, Bobby Fraser, Marcus Guignard, Rayshon Terry, David Noel, and Quentin Thomas. We talked to all those guys, and you've heard a couple interviews here recently, Tyler Hansbrough and Danny Green, where we had shorter interviews with those guys, and that's because then we also talked to them about this game in 2006. Plus, we talked to all those other gentlemen that I mentioned specifically about the 06 game, and we've gotten a ton of great memories, comments from them, perspective of 15 years later. They talk about the importance of that game. They talk about Tyler Hansbrough's freshman year. They talk about the locker room after the win. It's just something I hope that you're really, really going to like. It is different, again, than anything we've done before. I think it's probably, Adam, most similar to the Coach Smith tribute that we did, where Adam and I are more just kind of guiding you through the process, but it's really the former players that are telling the story.
I think it's going to end up being one of my favorite episodes of the pod. And the full 2006 game is on YouTube. So if you need something to do on Tuesday to get ready for the Friday show, you could go back and watch the game, because we'll mention a couple things about that throughout the episode. You'll be surprised how much fun you'll have, A, going back and watching the game, and B, listening to the former players share all the nuances of that game.
So, again, that will be our only podcast next week. It's going to come out, audio podcast. It's going to come out on Friday of next week. So no show on Tuesday. And we'll remind you out there on Twitter and stuff, just so you don't forget. There will still be a Roy Williams show on Tuesday. We'll put that up on the podcast feed on either Tuesday night or Wednesday. If the Tar Heels are successful against Florida State on Saturday, we'll put out the rapid reactions. I didn't really think you wanted to hear that rapid reactions. If you wanted to go watch it, we hope you did, because there was some good stuff there, particularly CB stuff as usual. But I didn't think you needed an extra reminder about that Marquette game. But so if the Tar Heels are successful, we'll put that up as well. So there'll still be content coming your way, but just no pod on Tuesday. We'll be there on Friday, though, for that big-time special episode.
And win or lose against the Seminoles, there'll be a Rapid Reactions video pod.
Yeah, we'll be there on the video side of things no matter what.
Around an hour or so after the game's over, you definitely will want to see whatever CB's breaking down on the big board.
Adam, anything else before we get out of here today?
No.
Okay, so we will let... And Adam, I gotta say, pretty excited about this. We've got to see you later, Big Grits, from Danny Green. We had, of course, had Danny on for a longer interview a couple of years ago in the summer. We referenced that during our conversation with him. And he was, quite literally, I think, the last guest before we started getting guests to say, see you later, Big Grits. But now we've gone and gotten him.
We'll have to look back in the archives to find out who now takes over that title. But our world just felt incomplete without a Danny Green, see you later, Big Grits.
Well, we have rectified that problem. So we're going to let Danny and the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
What's up? What's up, everybody? It's Danny Green here, and I'll see you later, Big Grits.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water sought in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits for
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by Harris Teeter, where Tar Heel fans shop for groceries.